Very warm welcome to our service. Let us make a start. I'm going to read some verses. You may wish to turn to it if you have a Bible. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 15. Oh, I'll start at 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isaiah says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. In the foreground of our lives, in the background of our lives, there's all kinds of things, aren't there, that threaten and destroy our peace. There's all kinds of trials, there are all kinds of fears, divisions, worries, all kinds of chaos we experience at times, chaos we anticipate, chaos we see around us in the world. All kinds of conflict. There's big conflicts, of course. There's small conflicts within our minds, within our homes and hearts. All kinds of tribulations and trials that rage in our world. What chance of peace? What chance of peace in our world? I mean, even if Russia carried on retreating all the way back, and even if all nations destroyed all their nuclear weapons, what chance of peace? Recession, corruption, poverty, people going into schools with guns, millions displaced, wandering, trying to find a home, violence filling our screens, elections rigged, views polarized. Such a world of strife, isn't it? What chance of peace? More than a chance. A certainty, an experience, and a promise. The Bible talks about kind of peace in three different ways. Peace provided. That is objective peace. Peace with God through Jesus. Peace present. That is subjective peace. Peace of God in a believer through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, promised peace. The promise of complete eternal peace to come. So Isaiah 6 verse 9 is a great verse, isn't it? Into our world parachutes the Prince of Peace. A child is born, a son is given, the government on his shoulders, and the names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So into the midst, of course, of occupied territory, I mean, literally, Roman occupied, wasn't it? But of course, a world that's just war-ripped, came Jesus, God the Son. So peace enters the Prince of it, enters 2,000 years ago in Jesus Christ. Not because he said, or just because he said, you know, put your sword away, those who take up the sword die by it, but the Prince of Peace, because of the depth of peace he came to bring. So, first of all, peace provided. And this book is called Peace Child. Some of you know it. Big spoiler coming up about this book. It is about Don and Carol Richardson, Canadian missionaries who in 1962 went to the cannibalistic tribes of Western New Guinea. So we're talking about just above Australia. And they saw, experienced to their horror, that the tribes they moved amongst honoured treachery. So they would even befriend people from other villages with the intention of later betraying them and killing them and even eating them. Horrific. Unbelievably horrific. The first time Don Richardson shared the story of Judas betraying Jesus, they saw Judas as the hero. The Richardsons ministered to these villages for some months. And the villages were called Hernam and Kamur. And these two tribes were warring against each other. And after months and months of ministering, the Richardsons felt they weren't able to convince these two settlements to stop fighting, let alone convince them of the gospel. So they announced that they were actually going to move and go minister elsewhere, and kind of shake the dust off their sandals, if you like. Well, the tribes didn't want to lose the benefits of having these Westerners living among them, so they suddenly declared that they were going to make peace with each other. And the Richardsons, of course, wondering, well, how could this be, given the long, horrific history of hatred and treachery and distrust that existed between them? Well, the morning after announcing their intention to make peace, at first a leader from Hainan and then a leader from Kamur started to carry one of their own infant sons towards the neighbouring enemy village. In the first case, the father from Hainan was prevented doing so by family members. They snatched the child back from him and gathered around him. In the second instance, the Khmer father, obviously distraught, child in arms, changed his mind. He turned back to his own village. And Don writes that suddenly a young Khmer father named Keo picked up his 6-month-old son, his only child, and he began running toward the other tribe. His wife chased him. It's a horrible scene, isn't it? Pleading with him to stop. He didn't stop. She slipped and fell in the mud. This father, child in arms, kept running and came face to face with their mortal enemies. And he called out Mahor, which is the name of one of them. Mahor stepped forward. Kayo asked, Mahor, will you plead the words of Kamur among your people? Mahor stated he would. Kayo continued, then I give you my son and with him my name. Mahor took the baby gently in his arms, announcing to all present, it is enough. I will surely plead peace between us. Those who accept this child on the basis for peace, come and lay hands on him. And the men and the women and the children of the village filed by, placing their hands on this infant. From then on, Mahur went by Kao's name. Shortly, an infant from the Hainan was presented to Kao. Kao returned to his village with this infant and the same sort of pledge took place. His tribe placed their hands on the Hainam child, and Keo assumed the name given by the father from that tribe. Don Richardson, you can imagine, was watching this with mixed feelings, and first was fear that these infants given to enemy villagers would come to great harm. But he was assured by them that those children would be carefully protected so peace could continue between the settlements. And he asked them, What is this you do? Why is it necessary? And they said, you've been urging us to make peace. Do you not know it's impossible to have peace without a peace child? And of course, this is their tribal way for making and maintaining peace. And Don and Carol, as you can imagine, were gobsmacked. Their deeply rooted tribal tradition of peace was so like the gospel. Such a way that he was able to just straight in tell them how God gave his one and only son to reconcile his enemies to himself, to give them a new name, to establish peace. And this peace child moment was the breakthrough among the tribes, and a number of them came to saving faith. The book's there, you can borrow it if you want. I've only got one though. It is a great story. Kind of heard the highlight, haven't you, Ben? But of course, this is the gospel. This is the objective peace God gives. Peace with God, isn't it? Romans 1 verse 5. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace with God is the peace that everybody needs. We want to feel and know peace, of course, in our daily lives. We'll come to this in a moment. But the peace with God is the peace every soul needs. And it comes, Romans tells us, by being justified through faith in the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus. Believe on Jesus, that he died in the place of our sinful law-breaking, and we enter a new state with God. It is a miracle. It implies as well that the state with God before this new state of reconciliation was at war. And it's true. Romans 5:10, if when we were God's enemies, he writes, and we were, whether it looked like outward anarchy or inward resistance to God, we were rebels to God. And some here today may still be in that camp. Are you in rebellion to God? Are you defiant? Are you holding out? Well, the fact is, God is at war with sinners. He is righteously angry with the wicked. He is in every way justifiably angry with rebels. But through the gospel of his son, the great act of justification means sinners move from being at war to being at peace. We enter a new state. Reconciliation means an exchange of status, war to peace. And it's through the death of his son. And it leads Paul in verse 10 to exhort us. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The Christian, you're a Christian here this morning, you are at peace with God. That is wonderful. There is now no condemnation on you because of Christ. Because God absorbed every drop of wrath towards you in Christ Jesus, you are at peace. Which means whatever happens, this peace you have from God, with God, means your place in the kingdom is secure. It's a permanent peace. It's not for a moment. It is established and set. So whether tomorrow the sun comes out on the rest of your days, and your life from now on is subjectively peaceful, or whether tomorrow the clouds just roll over and the rest of your life on this earth is one big struggle, you are at peace with God. And nothing can change that, because no one's bigger or stronger than God. It is a peace you have, and it cannot be taken away. This is a favored state. You need to know it, Christian. You need to enjoy it. You need to rejoice for it. If you do not know it, if you do not have this peace, you need to come to the cross. You need to come to the Prince of Peace. And you need to put your trust in He who makes peace. You need to receive something from outside of you. And it's Christ and His work on the cross. And you need that today. You don't need to wait any more days, and you really shouldn't. But you need to come to the cross. Because whosoever believes shall be saved from perishing and have everlasting life. Jesus can save you. You're not beyond saving. He can change your heart. He can take the most raging soul, and there's some ragers in this world, you might be one of them. He can take the most violent life, the most churned up, bitter, the most anxious, and He can transform you. He can bring peace, true, lasting, wonderful, eternal peace. So this is the great objective peace with God, provided by God, which leads to the subjective peace of God in a Christian. John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world does do I give to you." Now this is the peace of God. The peace Christ's people can know and feel because of the peace made by God. So a few years ago, a major art gallery sponsored a competition for painters, offering prizes for the best painting on the subject of peace. Most entries, you can imagine, were sort of pictures of lovely sunsets or calming lakes, that sort of thing. But the winning painting was a bit of a surprise. It was this painting. Quite far away, isn't it? What you've got there is really a scene of a raging waterfall in the midst of a violent storm. So the clouds are dark, aren't they? They're ominous. The trees are looking a bit scraggly. The cliffs are looking ready to topple. It's got water spraying everywhere. How was this the winner? You may have seen this before, some of you. Can you see? You probably can't, especially if you're the back. You've got to look closely. And as you do, you can see in the middle, in a cliff, is a bird on its nest, right in the middle of the waterfall. And on that nest, it is sleeping soundly with a quiet confidence in the midst of chaos. Do you see why this is the winner? It's good, isn't it? True peace is the peace that comes from God. It is given. It is experienced. It is what God makes and gives to His people. It is peace in the midst. Not to say peace from, come to that in a moment. It is a quiet assurance in the mix, isn't it? A calm confidence and inner tranquility in the storm. And it was just before the cross, the turbulence of the cross, when Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." A peace the world doesn't have. It's a peace the world cannot have. It's my peace. It's a peace, says Paul in Philippians, which is of God, which guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a guarding peace. This is a subjective peace. This is, if you like, personal. This is peace experienced in a Christian. The calm in the storm, the settledness of the soul, the being still and knowing God is God. Being subjective, it doesn't mean this peace is kind of floating or just fleeting. It is sure and it is steady because it rests on God's sovereignty, because we have a heavenly Father. It rests on God's salvation, on the rock Christ. It is a peace which pulls us back from the brink, isn't it? Able to guard us from anxiety. It is a peace which surpasses understanding. It is a peace which surprises us. You may be able to testify to that in your life. How did I get through without falling apart? How did I cope in the face of that diagnosis, in that difficult circumstance? How did I manage? The presence of God through His Holy Spirit in His people, bringing His peace, felt peace in their lives. So Isaiah was right, of course. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He makes peace with God, and in our hearts and minds now, He brings peace in the midst. But there's more. Lastly, one day, of course, eternal peace. Peace promised. The prophets foretold Jesus' first coming to earth, and they have said much about His return. The day will come when He will come back and He will complete the saving work which He has begun. Of course, not as a baby, but as King, King of kings, King over all kings. This will be the day when He will assert His rule, His sovereign rule, over everyone for all eternity. Jesus now rules us, Christians, in peace. He rules our lives through the Spirit from heaven, doesn't He? Through the power of the Spirit. But one day He's going to return and He will rule everyone, and every eye will see Him. And on that day He will gather His people and He will bring them to the place of permanent peace. He'll bring them to the new heavens and the new earth, the place He has prepared for them, His Father's house with many rooms. It is the era to come, Isaiah tells us in chapter 2, when swords, well, what are you going to do with a sword? Well, let's just hammer it into something we can use for gardening. Spears, well, we don't need a spear anymore. Well, we could hammer the end of a spear into a pruning hook and gather the apples. A time, Isaiah says in chapter 11, lions won't be eating lambs anymore. They're going to lie down with them. There'll be no harm. There'll be no destruction. There'll be no revenge. There'll be no thoughts of revenge. There'll be no squabbles, no invasions, no war. Can you imagine it? Is it real? Is it true? Do you believe it? Can you imagine experiencing complete eternal peace? Every conflict, small or large, will end forever. Every dispute, every clash, we do clash, don't we? We're sinners, we clash. Every division, every sour look, every foolish word, every pain, every worry, all will be gone forever. Because all evil will be overcome with good. And we will be with Jesus, our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You can all know peace today. You can know peace this very moment. As you sit and listen, if you know Jesus, you do. You're connected eternally to the Prince of Peace. You have peace with God, and you have the possibility of real peace in your minds and hearts when the storm rages. Not yet peace in the world, but one day the promise will come true. So let's look to him today, take hold of Christ, praise him, and receive all he has for us.